Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. Today being Friday, February 3rd, 2006, with another exciting broadcast here, and you're listening to the Hour of the Time on Christian Media Network via AM and FM affiliates, satellite links, and internet feeds. Now I want to thank you for tuning in today, and we have another exciting broadcast, but first the contact information. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942, that's 928-333-2942. And my personal email is hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, we are listener supported, and without your support, we cannot maintain our presence on the airwaves, internet feeds, satellite, the website. 365 days a year, no subscription fees. We can't maintain our research and our operations. Photocopies, electricity, ink, gas. You get the hint. So remember, we are listener supported. The best way you can do that is simply go to the website, and you can either write down what you wanted and donate for it. Write and donate directly. Go to the Hot Shop, right on the front page, hourofthetime.com, click on the Hot Shop, and that's our full online catalog. Thousands of broadcasts, numerous video productions, publications, special audio series, special items. So please go there, look it, donate outright or donate for research materials to share with your family and friends. Now our goal, ladies and gentlemen, is to restore our constitutional republic and defeat world socialism. We cannot do that without your help. You will get ran over unless you join the fight and become proactive. So support us, ladies and gentlemen. Now, yesterday we did the beginning of a small series I'm going to do here. And this is out of the actual military training I received. I've been putting together manuals that I have stashed away, notes, etc. And we started a mini-series on PSYOPs, or psychological operations, yesterday being part one, propaganda analysis. If you missed it, you missed out on a good one. I mentioned in there a couple points about tricks of the trade that are used by the government and the military, and today is what we're going to cover are those tricks of the trade. So after this musical break, you have time right here, a couple minutes, 3 minutes or so, to get your notebooks, get everything. Every day you have to have something to write with an hour at a time. And you'd be amazed. I have friends that do that. They became friends because of, over the time, listening for so long, communicating, meeting them, hanging out with them, that the notebooks are vast telling evidence of the amount of research, because they keep notes. And you'd be amazed how often they refer back to those to use to analyze things they see out here in the world, and it can be a great help. So you should always have something to write with. Take advantage of the little break time. I try to always do that at the beginning in case you forgot, but we're not going to do that all the time. That's really your problem, not my problem, to give you another chance to go get a notebook when you know you're going to be tuning in and you know you need something to write with. So, here we go. Be prepared to learn a bunch today. Today, part two of psychological operations, or PSYOPs. Today being the so-called tricks of the trade, as stated by the U.S. government.
You hold the answer deep within your own mind. Consciously, you've forgotten it. That's the way the human mind works. Whenever something is too unpleasant, too shameful for us to entertain, we reject it. We erase it from our memory. But the imprint is always there.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, today is Friday the 3rd of February 2006 with another exciting broadcast here from the Hour of the Time. This is Doyle Shamley. Today, part two in our PSYOP or psychological operations. You're getting the same training that's dispensed by the U.S. government to their operatives, troops, etc. I hope you're ready to take notes. Yesterday being propaganda analysis, and though go back real briefly to recap something here. Propaganda, tricks of the trade. In those instances when the logic of an argument or appeal is weak, propagandists revert to techniques known as tricks of the trade. These techniques may also be used to bolster valid arguments and appeals in many cases. Certain techniques may be used to address specific target groups or subject matter areas. A good reason for analyzing tricks of the trade is that they may give the first indication that the material being analyzed is propaganda. Now, I want to give you those tricks out of a trade straight out of a PSYOPS manual publication from the Department of Defense for use by government entities. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you're going to really, really like this because just like yesterday, I think it was quite evident if you listened and took notes that certain things remain true with how these operatives work. We indicated mass media, which includes television, State of the Union addresses, addresses by other leaders to a country, and a few of the key points which you can see every day on the air right now. So, to give you another hand up, and to help you realize when it is propaganda versus just some guy getting up making a speech, what's officially known as PSYOP techniques, ladies and gentlemen, or better yet, tricks of the trade, the knowledge of propaganda techniques is necessary to improve one's own propaganda and to uncover enemy PSYOP stratagems. Techniques, however, are not substitutes for the procedures in PSYOP planning, development, and dissemination. Techniques may be categorized as characteristics of the content are self-evident. No additional information is required to recognize the characteristics of this type of propaganda. Name-calling and the loose use of slogans such as war on terrorism are techniques of this nature. Additional information required to be recognized. Technique 2. Additional information is required by the target or analyst for the use of this technique to be recognized. Lying is an example of this technique. For instance, I have congressional or constitutional authority. The audience or analyst must have additional information in order to know whether a lie is being told. For instance, knowledge of their freedoms, rights, and the U.S. Constitution. 3. Evident only after extended output. Quote-unquote change of pace is an example of this technique. Neither the audience nor the analyst can know that a change of pace has taken place until various amounts of propaganda have been brought into focus. Repetition. This technique can be noted only after the same word, theme, message, or phrase has been used a number of times. For instance, war on terror. Nature of the argument used. An argument is a reason or a series of reasons offered as to why the audience should behave, believe, or think in a certain manner. An argument is expressed or implied. For instance, using the natural heartstrings of the American public, you must support your troops. 6. Inferred intent of the originator. This technique refers to the effect the propagandist wishes to achieve on the target audience, divisive and unifying propaganda fall within this technique. For instance, we must support our troops. Iran is at fault. It must also be classified on the basis of the effect it has on the audience. Now, ladies and gentlemen, into more detail of each of these main points. The self-evident technique, number one. First, A, appeal to authority. Appeals to authority cite prominent figures to support a position, idea, argument, or course of action. For instance, I have congressional authority. I have constitutional backing. The Attorney General has reviewed it. Assertion. Assertions are positive statements presented as fact. They imply that what is stated is self-evident and needs no further proof. Assertions may or may not be true. For instance, we must defeat terrorism. We must make America safe. C. Bandwagon and inevitable victory. Bandwagon and inevitable victory appeals attempt to persuade the target audience to take a course of action that, quote-unquote, everyone else is taking, quote-unquote, join the crowd, For instance, support our troops. This technique reinforces people's natural desire to be on the winning side. For instance, we must be the leaders in the war on terrorism. This technique is used to convince the audience that a program is an expression of an irresistible mass movement and that it is in their interest to join. For instance, everyone else is supporting our troops except for Group A, B, and C, targeting Groups A, B, and C. The so-called inevitable victory invites those not already on the bandwagon to join those already on the road to certain victory. For instance, we are winning the war on terror. Those already or partially on the bandwagon are reassured that staying aboard is the best course of action. For instance, you need to maintain your support for the war on terror. We've already reviewed the legal status. Next, obtain disapproval. This technique is used to get the audience to disapprove an action or idea by suggesting the idea is popular with groups hated, feared, or held in contempt by the target audience. Thus, if a group which supports a policy is led to believe that undesirable, subversive, or contemptible people also support it, the members of the group might decide to change their position. For instance, we have to tap phone lines without a warrant to get the evil terrorists. Next, glittering generalities. Glittering generalities are intensely emotionally appealing words so closely associated with highly valued concepts and beliefs that they carry conviction without supporting information or reason. They appeal to such emotions as love of country, home, homeland, desire for peace, freedom, glory, honor, etc. For instance, we must defeat terrorists to be safe. They ask for approval without examination of the reason. Though the words and phrases are vague and suggest different things to different people, their connotation is always favorable. For instance, we must remain safe. Terrorism is evil. We must defeat all terrorists. Quote, the concepts and programs of the propagandists are always good, desirable, and virtuous, end quote. Generalities may gain or lose effectiveness with changes in conditions. They must therefore be responsive to current conditions. Phrases which called up pleasant associations at one time may evoke unpleasant or unfavorable connotations at another, particularly if their frame of reference has been altered. For instance, for your safety, we must instigate the war on terror. Then, as the frame of reference changed, for your safety, we must dispense of the Fourth Amendment. Vagueness. Next point, generalities are deliberately vague so that the audience may supply its own interpretations. The intention is to move the audience by use of undefined phrases without analyzing their validity or attempting to determine their reasonableness or application. Vague phrases, for instance, war on terror, 20-year war, long-term war. Simplification. Favorable generalities are used to provide simple answers to complex social, political, economic, or military problems. For instance, I have congressional approval. Transfer. This is a technique of projecting positive or negative qualities, praise or blame, of a person, entity, object, or value, an individual, group, organization, nation, patriotism, etc., to another in order to make the second more acceptable or to discredit it. This technique is generally used to transfer blame from one member of a conflict to another. For instance, we had to invade Iraq because of Saddam Hussein. We may have to make preemptive strikes on Iran because of their nuclear program. It evokes an emotional response which stimulates the target to identify with recognized authorities. For instance, I have congressional approval. Next, least of evils. This is a technique of acknowledging that the source of action being taken is perhaps undesirable, but that any alternative will result in an outcome far worse. For instance, if we don't run wiretaps, our safety may be compromised. This technique is generally used to explain the need for sacrifices or to justify the seemingly harsh actions that displease the target audience or restrict personal liberties. Projecting blame on the enemy for the unpleasant or restrictive conditions is usually coupled with this technique. Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to read this again to get it through your skull. Least of evils. This is a technique of acknowledging that the course of action being taken is perhaps undesirable, but that any alternative would result in an outcome far worse. This technique is generally used to explain the need for sacrifices or to justify the seemingly harsh actions that displease the target audience or restrict personal liberties. Projecting blame on the enemy for the unpleasant or restrictive conditions is usually coupled with this technique. Name-calling or substitutions of names or moral labels. This technique attempts to arouse prejudices in an audience by labeling the object of the propaganda campaign as something the target audience fears, hates, loathes, or finds undesirable. Again, name-calling or substitutions of names or moral labels. This technique attempts to arouse prejudices in an audience by labeling the object, of the propaganda campaign is something the target audience fears, hates, loathes, or finds undesirable. For instance, February 3rd, 2006, Associated Press, 10 a.m., Rumsfeld likens Valenzuela's Chavez to Hitler. Again, Rumsfeld likens Valenzuela's Chavez to Hitler. Associated Press, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, February 3rd, 2006. Subcategory A, types of name calling. Direct name calling is used when the audience is sympathetic or neutral. It is a simple, straightforward attack on an opponent or opposing idea. Indirect name calling is used when the direct name calling would antagonize the audience. It is a label for the degree of attack between direct name calling and insinuation. Sarcasm, ridicule are employed by this technique. Cartoons, illustrations, and photographs are used in name calling, often with deadly effect. Next point, dangers inherent in name calling. In its extreme form, name-calling may indicate that the propagandist has lost his sense of proportion or is unable to conduct a positive campaign. Hence, desperation. Before using this technique, the propagandist must weigh the benefits against the possible harmful results. It is best to avoid use of this device. The obstacles are formidable, based primarily on the human tendency to close ranks against a stranger. For example, a group may despise, dislike, or even hate one of its leaders, even openly criticize them, but may and probably will resent any non-group member who criticizes and makes disparaging remarks against that leader. Pinpointing the enemy. This is a form of simplification in which a complex situation is reduced to the point where the enemy is unequivocally identified. For example, the president of country X is forced to declare a state of emergency in order to protect the peaceful people of his country from the brutal, unprovoked aggression by the leaders of country Y. Next, plain folks or common man. The so-called plain folks or common man approach attempts to convince the audience that the propagandist positions reflect the common sense of the people. It is designed to win the confidence of the audience by communicating in the common manner and style of the audience. Propagandists use ordinary language and mannerisms. For instance, yes, I'm a rancher. And even close in face-to-face and audiovisual communications, in attempting to identify their point of view with that of the average person. With the plain folks device, the propagandist can win the confidence of persons who resent or distrust foreign-sounding intellectual speech, words, or mannerisms. The audience can be persuaded to identify its interests with those of the propagandist. A. Presenting soldiers as plain folks. The propagandist wants to make the enemy feel he is fighting against soldiers who are decent, everyday folks, much like himself. This helps to counter themes that paint the opponent as a bloodthirsty killer. Presenting civilians as plain folks. The so-called plain folks or common man device also can help to convince the enemy that the opposing nation is not composed of arrogant, immoral, deceitful, aggression, warmongering people, but of people like himself, wishing to live in peace. For instance, the Iraqi people want the UN's form of democracy. Humanizing leaders. This technique paints a more human portrait of U.S. military and civil leaders. It humanizes them so that the audience looks upon them as similar human beings, or preferably as kind, wise, fatherly figures. Categories of plain folk devices. Vernacular. This is the contemporary language of a specific region or people, as it is commonly spoken or written, includes songs, idioms, and jokes. The current vernacular of the specific target audience must be used. For instance, when addressing fellow ranchers, a leader may say, "Yes, I'm a rancher also." Dialect. Dialect is a variation in pronunciation, grammar, and vocabulary from the norm of a region or nation. When used by the propagandist, perfection is required. This technique is best left to those whom the dialect is native, because native-level speakers are generally the best users of dialects in propaganda appeals. Errors. Scholastic pronunciation, enunciation, and delivery give the impression of being artificial. To give the impression of spontaneity, deliberately hesitate between phrases, stammer, or mispronounce words. For instance, when a leader of a country may be asked at a press conference his opinion or view of a recent movie, stammer, act confused initially. When not overdone, the effect is one of deep sincerity. Errors in written material may be made only when they are commonly made by members of the reading audience. For instance, "We live in a democracy," often printed in media headlines. Generally, errors should be restricted to colloquialisms. Homey words. Homey words are forms of virtue words used in the everyday life of the average man. These words are familiar ones, such as home, family, children, farm, neighbors, or cultural equivalents. They evoke a favorable emotional response and help transfer the sympathies of the audience to the propagandist. Homey words are widely used to evoke nostalgia. Care must be taken to assure that homey messages addressed to enemy do not also have the same effect on friendly forces. If the propaganda or propagandist lacks naturalness, there may be an adverse backlash. The audience may resent what it considers attempts to mock it or its language and its ways. For instance, possibly a leader dancing on stage and singing with a cultural pop music icon of a Latin heritage. social disapproval. This is a technique by which the propagandist marshals group acceptance and suggests that attitudes or actions contrary to the one outlined will result in social rejection, disapproval, or outright ostracism. The latter, ostracism, is a control practiced widely used within peer groups and traditional societies. For instance, if you do not support the war on terror, you do not support our troops. Hence, you do not love America. Virtue words. These are words in the value system of the target audience which tends to produce a positive image when attached to a person or issue. Peace, happiness, security. Wise leadership, freedom are virtue words. We cannot have peace or happiness or feel secure in America, ladies and gentlemen, or have our freedom without this war on terror, which is being run by our extensive research and our wise leaders. Slogans. A slogan is a brief, striking phrase that may include labeling and stereotyping. If ideas can be sloganized, they should be, as good slogans are self-perpetuating. For instance, war on terror. Testimonials. Testimonials are quotations in or out of context, especially cited to support or reject a given policy, action, program, or personality. For instance, when a troop is interviewed on the news saying, "The Iraqi people love us here," leaving off the end of the phrase, handing out food. The reputation or the role, expert, respected public figure, etc., of the individual giving this statement is exploited. For instance, "I have congressional approval." "The aged and learned Senate backs me." "The Attorney General has supported it." The testimonial places the official sanction of a respected person or authority on a propaganda messages. This is done in an effort to cause the target audience to identify itself with the authority or to accept the authority's opinions and belief as its own. Several types of testimonials are included here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to musical break. I hope you are ready to keep taking notes after this break.
What sort of creature inhabits the modern domain? Who is the modern man. He is the smartest, most advanced individual to ever strut the planet, the most relatively liberated being in history. He scoffs with great division at the idea of the existence and operation of a technology of mass mind control emanating from the media and government. Modern man believes that he is much too smart to believe anything as superstitious as that. But the truth is, modern man, ladies and gentlemen, is the ideal hypnotic subject.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening today, Friday, the 3rd of February, 2006, to the Hour of the Time. You're listening to the Hour of the Time on Christian Media Network via AM and FM affiliate satellite links and internet feeds. Now again, remember, the Hour of the Time is listener supported, and without your support, we cannot maintain our research. We cannot maintain the website and all the extraneous expenses of the operation. Our goal to establish or reestablish our constitutional Republican government is of utmost importance now, ladies and gentlemen. We are in crunch time. We must defeat world socialism, and without your help, we cannot do that. If you don't care, then just turn off the radio. Turn off your computer. Turn off your satellite receiver. If you care enough, though, to defend and protect our heritage, ladies and gentlemen, then don't procrastinate. Write us. Donate to help us in our cause. Donate for research materials. Go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop. Ladies and gentlemen, we need your support. We can't do this on our own. This involves you as well. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we ended right before the musical break with the testimonial concept of tricks of the trade, of propaganda. Testimonials, there are several types of. First, official sanction. The testimonial authority must be given the endorsement or be clearly on record as having been approved the attributed idea, concept, action, or belief. Four factors are involved. Accomplishment. People have a confidence in an authority who has demonstrated outstanding ability and proficiency in his field. This accomplishment should be related to the subject of the testimonial. For instance, highly decorated Joint Chief of Staff, General such and such, agrees that there are weapons of mass destruction. B. Identification with the target. People have greater confidence in an authority with whom they have a common bond. For example, the soldier more readily trusts an officer with whom he has undergone similar arduous experiences than a civilian authority on military subjects. Position of authority. The official position of authority may install confidence in the testimony. For instance, president, head of state, Joint Chief of Staff, Congressman, Senator, etc. Inanimate objects. Inanimate objects may be used in the testimonial device. In such cases, the propaganda seeks to transfer physical attributes of an inanimate object to the message. The war on terror and weapons of mass destruction, for example, are a type of inanimate object associated with steadfast strength and a threat to our freedom. Personal sounds of testimonial authority. B. Subsection A, enemy leaders. The enemy target audience will generally place great value on its high-level military leaders as a source of information. Fellow soldiers, because of their common experiences, soldiers form a bond of comradeship. As a result, those in the armed forces are inclined to pay close attention to what other soldiers have to say. Opposing leaders. Testimonial of leaders of the opposing nation are of particular value in messages. For instance, Prime Minister Tony Blair said today to British subjects, "We must win the war on terror." Opposing leaders, again, testimonials of leaders of the opposing nation are of particular value in messages that outline war aims and objectives for administering the enemy nation after it capitulates. Testimonials of leaders of the opposing nation are of particular value in messages that outline war aims and objectives for administering the enemy nation after it capitulates. Next section, famous scholars, writers, and other personalities. Frequently, statements of civilians known to the target audience as authoritative or famous scholars, writers, scientists, commentators, etc. can be effectively used in propaganda messages. Famous scholars, writers, and other personalities, ladies and gentlemen, frequently statements of civilians known to the target audience as authoritative or famous scholars, writers, scientists, commentators, etc. can be effectively used in propaganda messages. For instance, actor or actress such and such held a benefit dinner for the Clintons this evening. Actor such and such supports whatever President Bush does. Next, non-personal sources of testimonial authority. Institutions, ideologies, national flags, religious and other non-personal sources are often used. The creeds, beliefs, principles, or dogmas of respected authorities or other public figures may make effective propaganda testimonials. For instance, he is a member of the U.S. Senate. He is a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Factors to be considered, though, plausibility. The testimonial must be plausible to the target audience. The esteem in which an authority is held by the target audience will not always transfer an implausible testimonial into effective propaganda. False testimonials. Never use false testimonials. Highly selective testimonials? Yes. Lies? Well, fabrications. Never. Fabricated, false testimonials are extremely vulnerable because their lack of authenticity makes them easy to challenge and discredit. For instance, I have congressional authority. Propaganda techniques are based on characteristics of the content, but which require additional information on the part of analysts to be recognized. 1. Incredible truths. There are times when the unbelievable or incredible truth not only can but should be used. Among these occasions are when the psychological operator is certain that a vitally important event will take place. A catastrophic event or one of significant tactical or strategic importance unfavorable to the enemy has occurred and the news has been hidden from the enemy public or troops, or the enemy has denied or glossed over an event detrimental to its cause. Next, a double cutting edge. This technique has a double cutting edge. It increases the credibility of the U.S. psychological operator while decreasing the credibility of the enemy to the enemy's target audience. Advanced security clearance must be obtained before using this technique so that operations or projects will not be jeopardized or compromised. Actually, propagandists using this technique will normally require access to special, compartmented information and facilities to avoid compromise of other sensitive operations or projects of agencies of the U.S. government. Though such news will be incredible to the public, it should be given full play by the psychological operator. This event and its significance will eventually become known to the public in spite of government efforts to hide it. The public will recall, and, by the way, the psychological operator will help the recall process, that the incredible news was received from U.S. or allied sources. For instance, we have proof, and Tony Blair, Prime Minister of Britain, also believes that there are weapons of mass destruction. They will also recall the deception of the government. The prime requirement in using this technique is that the disseminated incredible truth must be or be certain to become a reality. Simple solutions for complex problems. This technique offers simplified interpretations of events, ideas, concepts, or personalities. Statements are positive and firm. Qualifying words are never used. For instance, I have congressional authority. They have weapons of mass destruction. Simplification may be used to sway uneducated and educated audience. This is true because many persons are well-educated or highly skilled, trained specialists in a specific field, but the limitations of time and energy often force them to turn to and accept simplifications to understand, relate, and react to other areas of interest. For instance, when the economy is so bad, all family members are out working, public education system and newspeak must be relied upon to teach the children. Simplification has the following characteristics. A. It thinks for others. Some people accept information which they cannot verify personally as long as the source is acceptable to them or the authority is considered expert. For instance, I heard it on such and such's broadcast on shortwave. It must be correct. Others absorb whatever they read, see, or hear with little or no discrimination. For instance, I heard there's going to be a nuclear strike this weekend on such and such broadcast. I read it on such and such's website. Others are uneducated and willingly accept convenient simplifications. Some people are too lazy or unconcerned to think problems through. It is concise. Simplification gives the impression of going to the heart of the matter in a few words. The average member of the target audience will not even consider that there may be another answer to the problem. For instance, they have weapons of mass destruction. We must commit fully to the war on terror. It also, that is, simplification builds ego. Some people are reluctant to believe that any field of endeavor except their own is difficult to understand. For example, a layman is pleased to hear what law is just common sense dressed up in a fancy language. Or, quote, modern art is really a hodgepodge of aimless experiment or nonsense. Such statements reinforce the ego of the lay audience. It is what they would like to believe because they are afraid that law, modern art may actually be beyond their understanding. Simple explanations are given for complex subjects and problems. For instance, we must negate Fourth Amendment rights to secure your freedom and safety. Stereotyping is a form of simplification used to fit persons, groups, nations, or events into ready-made categories that tend to produce a desired image of good or bad. For instance, terrorists, 9/11, war on terror, Iran, Iraq, evil coalition, evil nation. Stereotyping puts the subject, people, nations, etc., or event into a simplistic pattern without any distinguishing individual characteristics. Characteristics of content which may become evident when numerous pieces of output are examined. Change of pace. Change of pace is a technique of switching from belligerent to peaceful output, from hot to cold, from persuasion to threat, from gloomy prophecy to optimism, from emotion to fact. For instance, we will win the war on terror. Stalling. Stalling is a technique of deliberately withholding information until its timeliness is past, thereby reducing the possibility of undesired impact. For instance, we are not done analyzing the evidence from 9/11 yet. The shift of scene. With this technique, the propagandist replaces one, so-called fill the battle, with another. It is an attempt to take the spotlight off an unfavorable situation or condition by shifting it to another, preferably of an opponent, so that to force the enemy to go on the defense. For instance, Osama bin Laden has not yet been found, yet we must get Saddam Hussein, now we must get Iran. Repetition. An idea or position is repeated in an attempt to elicit an almost automatic response from the audience or to reinforce an audience's opinion or attitude. This technique is extremely valid and useful because the human being is basically a creature of habit and develops skills and values by repetition like walking, talking, code of ethics, etc. An idea or position may be repeated many times in one message or in many messages, for instance, war on terror. The intent is the same in both instances, namely to elicit an immediate response or to reinforce an opinion or attitude. For instance, we must win the war on terror or we cannot be safe. Next, propaganda techniques based on the nature of the arguments used. The two major types of arguments used in propaganda are rational and non-rational. When this category is used, it must be understood that the truth or falsity of the content has nothing to do with the nature of the argument. Again, ladies and gentlemen, when this category is used, it must be understood that the truth or falsity of the content has nothing to do with the nature of the argument. Thus, an elaborate structure of reasons proposed to a target audience might consist entirely of lies, but still qualify as a rational appeal. For instance, they have weapons of mass destruction. We haven't found them yet, but they have them. The outstanding example of a rational argument is one using the least of evil's technique. Selection, case-making, and card stacking also fall within the category of rational arguments, as might appeals to authority and possibly testimonials. For instance, I have seen proof of the weapons of mass destruction, so you must give up some personal liberties to ensure your safety. Non-rational arguments sometimes contain numerous virtue words or engage in considerable name-calling. For instance, the evil nation, terrorists, war on terror, allies, axis of evil. But the mere presence of these characteristics is insufficient reason to label an argument non-rational. It may be under the rational context of arguments. Propaganda classified on the basis of the inferred intent of the originator. A. Anticipatory or preparatory. This type of propaganda is disseminated in order to bring the expectancies of the target audience in line with the realities of the situation. This technique, which prepares the audience for the worst, is used to soften the blow of an unfavorable situation or result. Divisive propaganda. intentionally raises issues to stir up dissent and factions within the target audience. Hot potato. Hot potato is a technique in which the propagandist presents a potentially embarrassing event, situation, or issue in order to force the enemy to respond, knowing that the response will put the opponent in a bad light. For instance, exposing Iran's nuclear program while already insinuating they are building nuclear weapons. Coercive propaganda. This type of propaganda uses forceful or threatening language in order to intimidate the target audience into supporting a position. Fear themes and messages. Fear themes and messages are among the most effective means of influencing target audience. Fear, which binds group members against the outside, such as fear that the enemy, the outsider, the terrorist will block, erode, or destroy the basic values of the audience, has long been used by individuals and groups having parochial interests. In the realm of politics, this is illustrated when factors within a political entity are bitterly split over an important issue and someone outside the entity enters the conflict with his solution to the divisive problem. The differing parties will immediately unite or close ranks against the outsider. Using fear messages. When using fear messages, give specific, simple instructions and offering a solution that minimizes the possibility of danger. For instance, for our nation's safety, we must seek out and destroy terrorists and capture their weapons of mass destruction. This message must state or infer that the action called for can be performed if the target follows precisely the simple and precise instructions given in the message. In giving instructions, the psychological operator wants to affect behavior, not test intelligence. When using fear messages, the psychological operator wants to affect behavior, not test intelligence. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Hour of the Time today, Friday, the 3rd of February, 2006. We are listener-supported, and we need your support to continue this research. May everyone have a thoughtful and a studious weekend.
Struck the planet, the most relatively liberated being in history.
he scoffs with great division at the idea of the existence and operation of a technology of mass mind control emanating from the media and government. Modern man believes that he is much too smart to believe anything is superstitious and fact. But the truth is, modern man, ladies and gentlemen, is the ideal hypnotic subject.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our destiny is at hand. The time has come for all unashamed patriots of the land to come forth in unison, proclaiming loudly of the rich heritage of the Republic, to defend it, to preserve it. We cannot each do everything, but we can each do something. For each has influence for good, and all that is needed for evil to succeed is for the good to remain silent. Ladies and gentlemen, please support the Hour of the Time.